Louisiana Radio Network Sports, I'm Case Kieschnick. Arizona State transfer quarterback Sam Levitt had his first interview since moving to Baton Rouge yesterday. Levitt said one of the reasons he chose to come to LSU was to improve as a quarterback. He says he gets to play against great players in practice and is coached by great offensive minds like Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss Jr.
I think they really see my passion for the game and I see theirs. I'd say this staff is probably the hardest working staff I've been around, and it's a blessing for me to be held accountable in that way. And just constantly grind. Like, I just keep saying, we've been grinding, because that's really what it's been.
He also confirmed he has been fully healthy for months now and is not bothered at all by a foot injury that ended his final year at Arizona State early. The Saints announced quarterback Drew Brees will be inducted into the Ring of Honor at halftime of their home matchup with the Vikings on October 11th. Brees was enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame this weekend, and he will become the 8th Saints player in the Ring of Honor alongside late owner Tom Benson. The Vikings just named free agent quarterback Kyler Murray as their starter this season. LRN.
If you love LSU, don't settle for headlines everyone else already has. At TigerRag.com and in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find breaking news, exclusive interviews, recruiting, game analysis, and the investigative reporting that's making headlines across Louisiana. Recently named Louisiana's first place breaking news winner by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association, Tiger Rag delivers independent journalism covering the business, the politics, and the games of LSU athletics. Visit TigerRag.com every day. Tiger Rag, independent, fearless LSU.
Saints head coach Kellen Moore said the team is still evaluating the severity of veteran defensive end Cameron Jordan's hamstring injury, but he will miss some time. Moore did not confirm how long that would be, but said Jordan may not make it back in time for the Saints' season opener in Detroit September 13th. The LSU women's basketball team announced its schedule for the season. The Lady Tigers tip off the year November 2nd, hosting Southeastern Louisiana. Their first seven games are at home before they head to the Fort Myers tip-off Thanksgiving Hoops Tournament against Villanova and NC State. LSU visits UNC December 2nd in the ACC-SEC Challenge and begins conference play at Auburn December 31st. The Lady Tigers play Auburn twice and every other conference opponent once in the regular season and close out the year at home against Oklahoma February 28th. Former Saints quarterback Derek Carr is joining the UCLA coaching staff as a special advisor to first-year head coach Derek Chesney. Carr retired before the beginning of training camp last year, and he will assist in offensive game planning and coaching the Bruins quarterbacks in a volunteer role this season. Louisiana Radio Network Sports, I'm Case Kieschnick.
Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide, breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
Our time is now with LSU basketball.
The players.
We're having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
One way or another, we're going to make history.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
LSU is the best job in football.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
I came here to win. We're going to win immediately.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council, Boudreaux's Electrical Services, and Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Case Kieschnick and our hosts, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gilbo.
Two great players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Tiger Rag Radio. We are a week into preseason camp. I'm Jeff Palermo, News and Sports Director of Louisiana Radio Network, along with the Executive Editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn, Case Kieschnick, LRN reporter and Tiger Rag reporter, and our producer is with us tonight. And Glenn Gilbo is about ready to sweat as he is out over at LSU Football Ops as there is an evening practice and the media will be allotted to watch three periods, which will last about 15 minutes. But we may hear from Glenn later on in the show. We will hear, or we hope to hear, from Brett McMurphy from On3, national college football writer. We'll get his take on not only big topics in the SEC, but nationally. And there's always a lot to talk about when it comes to college football, whether it's college football playoff expansion. Some new rules, by the way. I love the new change to targeting. We'll get into that here in a little bit later on. We'll join up with Sam Hutchins. You know, last time we had Sam on, that's when it broke that Ole Miss was suing a couple of LSU players, and Prince Will, Umanmielen, and Devin Harper. I was hoping maybe some more breaking news would happen right before we would get Sam on, but we got an hour for maybe something to occur. But hopefully we'll get an update from Sam on where they are at with that lawsuit and how things are going in Oxford for them and preseason camp. And then Reed Darcy of The Advocate had an excellent piece on Kayshon Boutte, of course, the wide receiver for the New England Patriots, who has rehabilitated his life after a gambling problem. And he's a better man for it. And Reed had a really good article on him. And we'll have to talk to Reed as well about the LSU women's basketball schedule that came out today. Very difficult stretch towards the end of the regular season. And we'll get Reed's thoughts on that. But Todd, we are here. It's preseason camp. We've heard from Lane Kiffin twice. We'll hear from him again on Thursday. Looking forward to hearing from Blake Baker on Friday. We do get a chance to talk with the coordinators. Charlie Weiss will also speak with the media. But your big takeaway so far after, what are we at, four practices in the books? So maybe five or six, something like that?
I think they look really good in shorts.
And shells,
yeah. I think and what you said, we're at a week tomorrow.
Yeah, this was the first practice.
Cumulative about 30 minutes probably. Mm-hmm. Give or take a few. I really don't know how you can surmise that much. I mean, I do say that you can see that they're a talented team,
right,
in terms of individual talent.
And you can see that on paper, too.
You can see that on paper, but you can certainly see it, you know, passes the eye test in shorts and shells. But that's about it.
Yeah.
And you know, you mentioned they're going to be able to hopefully view three sessions tonight, you know, three rounds that could last 15 minutes. It could last 10. It mm-hmm. depends on how long those rounds are. There has been some news that's come out, and Case has been out there several times, and we'll call on him to report. We've got a lot of good sound.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, Kiffin's talked twice. We heard from Sam Levitt for the first time,
which was great.
Yeah, and we got some really good sound bites from that. I love Ty Benefield.
Yeah.
I what I've seen of him on the field over the course of the last couple of months has really been impressive. I think LSU's defense is going to be really good, but I think the defensive backfield is going to be their strength, and I've thought that on paper, and I think that there's a case that can be made. By Case, that's the case.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Case, well, why don't we ask him some of your observations, Case, of not only being out in practice, but also digesting what Lane Kiffin and Sam Levitt, along with Ty Benfield and Braylon Moore, have had to say so far here in the first few days of camp.
Yeah, I mean, I think you touched on the biggest takeaway for me from the, you know, brief experience that I've had watching the team. Yeah, I wasn't out there in the spring, and so these fall practices were my first time seeing these guys in person, and Ty Benefield just looks like a guy. You know, he's a head taller than everyone else in that safety room. He looks like almost an NFL ready player, and that really shows. All you're doing is looking at him standing there.
Yeah.
You know, of course, but it really seems like all the reports coming out of the spring and everything that he's going to be this big impact player and open up everything for you in the defense and in the secondary are true.
6'3", 210 pounds. One of the storylines at that other safety position is that we saw, at least for a couple of drills, Jace Thomas running with the ones over Tamarcus Cooley. Your thoughts on either of you guys, your thoughts on that situation?
Well, let me go first, Case. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can make anything out of that much. I think Tamarcus Cooley had a great season last year, relatively speaking, and I think that he has proven himself. I don't think he's going to lose the job. I think in practice, when you're going through sessions like they're going through, that there's going to be different players that get reps, and I think you can take a step too far when you only see 10 minutes of total action and start to assume that that means somebody's pressing somebody for playing time. They may be pressing them for reps,
yeah,
but playing time, you know, could be conditional on certain situations.
Yeah, that was my kind of takeaway with it too, is just, you know, the next following days after there were reports of Jace Thomas kind of taking over that first team role. Now Fahim Delane's getting run with the ones and everything, and it's just kind of, you've got a proven SEC starter in Tamarcus Cooley, who was very good alongside A.J. Halsey last season. I don't see a world where Kiffin comes in and tells Blake Baker, no, yeah, you're going to bench him for this guy. I think they're trying to get some younger guys some reps because they know that there is a future after this season. And this is the time where you can kind of take a look. Kiffin said that he had a lot of young guys that he liked in that room, and this is just kind of your opportunity to actually get them, see them play.
And I think that's very important, and I think that's true, but I also think that there is a conditional situational things that they're preparing for right now. I think Lane Kiffin and his coaching staff, compared to especially what we've seen for the last 4 years, is much more organized and purposeful with mm-hmm. what they're doing in these practices and in their whole season planning. And I think that's part of what you're seeing right now.
I will say, you like what Jace Thomas potentially provides.
Oh, yeah, it's not a knock against the kid at all. It's great. I mean, he's elevated himself over the course of a couple of months through what he did in off-season training and with team drills, you know, no coach allowed drills, what have you, to warrant reps. That's great for the kid, and that's great, but that does not mean that it is completely jumping to conclusions to assume that he's going to be pushing Tamarcus Cooley for the starting role right now. Now, that may happen, but I think right now is way too early to begin making that assumption based off of two reps.
Now, Tamarcus did not grade out well with Pro Football Focus last year, so there may be more to it.
Situational, again, you know. I mean, I don't know. We're not out there.
No.
And now I sound like a hypocrite because I'm sitting here going the opposite direction. We really don't get to see that much to make any conclusions. Yeah. And you have to piece together what the narrative is, and it's so tight and controlled most of the time. And
that's the thing, is any 11-on-11 drills that they're doing, Tamarcus Cooley could be out there with the ones in those, you know, from what we've seen, we know what we know. But I thought it was interesting. Benefield had an answer in his interview the other day where he was talking about the depth in the room. And he mentioned how there are a lot of young guys that are great, and there's a lot of young talent. And it's great that they have the opportunity to learn from guys like himself, Cooley, and Spears. And I just don't think you list off those three like they're the sure starters without that kind of having been the case.
By the way, Deshaun Spears, that dude has gotten bigger.
His name is Deshaun.
Deshaun Spears has gotten bigger. I mean, he just popped out to me as far as, okay. Because I saw him at Denham Springs. You saw him at Denham Springs as well. And even just seeing him a little bit last season, that is a kid that has certainly grown into his body for sure.
And I think that's very important, especially considering he's supposed to be the starter at Star, which he's going to need to be more physical. He's going to need that size. My biggest concern with him, if you'll recall, last year and even the year before, I think it was the year before, the spring before, was his lack of physicality. But that will change and has changed. With that increase in size, it'll improve his physicality. And I think, you know, even though they haven't tackled yet.
Defensive tackle, let's talk about that. That's been one of the big storylines as well with both Richard Anderson and Deuce Geralds. Again, with the team drills, even though it's not team on team, it's just the defensive team out there. Those two guys as your starters or with the first team. Both true freshmen. Meanwhile, two guys that you brought in on the transfer portal, Steph Green, and then along with Malik Blockton from Auburn, and then you got Dominic McKinley, who was a previous five-star recruit who's entering his third season. Defensive tackle is a position that sees serious rotation throughout the entire game.
And to me, this is a little different than what we were just talking about with Jace Thomas at safety, because these two guys are top-notch five-star recruits. It's still hard for a freshman to play at that position.
Right.
But the narrative that follows it from Kiffin is him talking about how him and Ed Ogeron have never seen a room like this stocked with so much young talent. you know, together or separate. You know, that was in his, I think we probably have that clip. We'll probably play it, but that's to me, they're saying a little, the narrative's a little bit different there. It's like these guys are like almost transformational type of players. And I think Deuce Gerald's, Lamar Brown, and Richard Anderson are going to see significant playing time this year. Now, I'm not saying they're going to start. I'm not saying that they're going to dominate the playing time, but I think they're going to have significant playing time.
Any concern about the size of Deuce Gerald? 6'1", 280 pounds. Because last year, who was one of the names we kept hearing about all the time last year? Bernard Gooden. And then when the season came along, how many times did you hear Bernard Gooden's name?
Okay, so again, they're only in shorts. We don't see any real team action. But from what you hear about him is that he handles his skill and his technique is so good that he overcomes that size disadvantage. Now, I don't know how you understand that whenever you're seeing 5 minutes of action against predominantly blocking dummies and
sledding
pads.
Blocks.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't know. I don't. I mean, I played football my whole life. I don't get it.
I would imagine though, leverage is a big part, and this is a kid in Georgia. I thought this statistic is pretty cool, and I don't know. Covering high schools, trust me, the sack stat is a little elusive, right? Or it could be fudged one way or the other. But he is the all-time sacks leader in Georgia prep football history.
Wow.
So he is a kid that certainly, I think this news regarding Richard Anderson and Deuce Gerald's, and you want to throw in Lamar Brown and then Trenton Henderson, who Lane Kiffin threw in there as well, I think this is terrific news for 2027 and 2028. I just hope Malik Blockton and Steph Green, and I wanted to see Dominic McKinley become the dominant player that people thought when they signed this kid. Remember, they signed him in the late February signing period, and we have yet to see it.
We're going to have to see it from McKinley and those other veterans that transferred in, Blockton and Green. You're going to have to see it from them because they need the depth.
Right.
And these players, these, you know, Anderson, Brown, even, and Henderson
yeah.
And Deuce Gerald's, they could have an impact, but they're not going to be able to play a veteran role. Yeah. They're just not.
Let's take our first break, Todd. We'll hear a little bit from Lane Kiffin and some players. A lot to get to. Brett McMurphy also joining us later on in Tiger Rag Radio. Stay tuned. Much more coming up.
Some call it overplanning. At Boudreaux Electrical Services, we call it foresight. Be prepared for the next power outage with a Generac home standby generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac home standby generator automatically restores your home power. Generac, it's not just a generator. It's a power move. Trust Boudreaux's electrical services for expert installations, proactive maintenance for home and business. BoudreauxElectricalServices.com for more information.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
If you love LSU, don't settle for headlines everyone else already has. At TigerRag.com and in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find breaking news, exclusive interviews, recruiting, game analysis, and the investigative reporting that's making headlines across Louisiana. Recently named Louisiana's first place breaking news winner by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association, Tiger Rag delivers independent journalism covering the business, the politics, and the games of LSU athletics. Visit TigerRag.com every day. Tiger Rag, independent, fearless, LSU. LSU is more than just football scores. It's recruiting battles, NIL, SEC politics, coaching decisions, public records, financial decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody covers the complete story like Tiger Rag. Every day at TigerRag.com and every month in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find award-winning journalism, exclusive interviews, insider analysis, recruiting coverage, opinion, history, and investigative reporting that other outlets simply don't have. Tiger Rag was recently honored with first place for breaking news by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association for its coverage of LSU athletics. Whether you're following Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, or the future of LSU athletics, Tiger Rag is where serious LSU fans begin. Visit TigerRag.com today. Tiger Rag, more than big games, the story behind LSU sports.
No more mold, no more damage, no more outdated old bathroom, no more slipping and hurting, no more stress. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. Be stress-free. Call 800-770-5322. BCI Bath & Shower is made in America for the highest quality. Ask about our military and senior discounts. Your dream bathroom in as little as one day. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. Call now for free premium color upgrades. 800-770-5322. Call BCI Bath & Shower, the leader in bathroom remodeling. Be smart, safe, and stay a step ahead of inflation with our interest-free financing options. Call 800-770-5322. Love your bathroom with free upgrades. Call 800-770-5322. That's 800-770-5322.
Tiger Rag Radio is back on the air.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with Todd Horn and Case Kieschnick. We were just talking about the LSU defensive line. Let's hear from LSU center Braylon Moore, who breaks down some of these young bucks on that D-line.
Man, those guys are going to be crazy talented. Their future is so bright. I mean, I've played in the ACC, played against good Clemson teams, played in the SEC. Those freshmen are developed more than some of the players I played in their fourth year. Deuce is extremely talented pass rusher. His bag is endless. And then when it comes to Rich, he is a powerful dude, can eat up double teams, could just cause chaos in the backfield. And then Lamar's kind of a switch up. You know, he's an edge rusher, but he could also move into three tech. You know, he has that power. So he could work finesse and he could just go right through you. So that group is set for the next couple of years for sure.
They certainly are. Let's hear a little bit from Lane Kiffin, where he was asked about, have you ever had this talented group or these many talented freshmen at one time along the defensive line?
I talked to Ed about that. I was kind of thinking all the places over the years we've been, and even when we've been together or separate, and neither of us has had that. You know, it's really and really unique to have nowadays, because now they're more spread out usually, where before you could take more numbers. You know, and so maybe then you hit on some and got that. But it's really exciting. All of them have a chance to play. Those three specifically are playing a lot. It's really exciting in an age that.
Yeah, certainly is exciting. Let's see how well it translates to those guys being able to go through some what will likely be some tough growing pains in 2026. But obviously the future looks bright for 2027, 28. Let's hear a little bit, Case, before we have to go to a break again. Sam Levitt, here's Lane Kiffin's take on Sam.
Sam's had a great week, had a great practice today, taking care of the ball, really throwing the ball really accurate and on time, and extremely pleased with his week and how he looks. We have high standards how we want things and what we want them to look like. It was probably unrealistic what I was expecting him to look like when he can't move and he's just throwing without really having his weight to be able to push into. So now that he's healthy, he's had a great week. We're really excited about him.
And he should be. And what we've been able to see is that he throws a really nice deep ball, but with no pressure on him and – really no defender defending the wide receiver, so it's it looks pretty.
But the one thing that is really good about that is that he is stepping into the ball, and there is no impediment from the injury, and that is important. What about him thinking that Louisiana was fake?
I thought Oregon was fake, so how about that? I could touche on that.
Do we have that clip, Case?
But people are great in Louisiana. The passion, you know, just walking down the street is pretty incredible. Just, you know, the way that they love the state and put on for the state, you know, it just makes you want to be here even more. People around the facility just showing so much love to Baton Rouge and the entire area. You know, it's just been a blessing being out here. You know, I'm from Oregon, so Louisiana kind of felt almost fake to me in a way. I didn't think it was a real place. But after being out here, you know, I just love the trees, and I've always wanted to be in the South. The humidity obviously was something I had to get used to, but I love it now. I love the way it makes my skin feel and, you know, everything like that. So it's been amazing.
So let me get this straight. Because Louisiana has trees, it is now suddenly an authentic place that is real. And because it is so humid, it makes his skin feel like olive oil.
Yeah. Well,
He's a character. That's the first time he's ever spoken to the LSU media beat reporters. Now he did what he had a week before. He did something with the women's group.
NIL. Women's clinic. But I came away impressed with the guy. I love the story. I know it was just a kind of a quick story about him taking the receivers to Dallas, and we had heard about that.
Right.
But he kind of gave a little bit more detail. But I found it interesting is that he said he fell in love with the place, but yet if you do a little revisionist history, he did leave LSU and go visit a couple other places.
That was a complicated 24 hours too.
Yes. Because all of a sudden it seemed like Damon Williams was going to be the guy coming to LSU, and then Lane had to go to Knoxville and patch things up, and I know they pressed him a little bit in trying to get more of the backstory. To me, it would be a fascinating backstory, and maybe one day it'll all come out on what went down with that. But I don't know if it was – maybe it was love at first sight, and then there was a little bit of a rift, and then there was a makeup, and so far it's been a nice relationship.
So the way I remember it, okay, and I have a somewhat vivid memory of that weekend. I remember Lane Kiffin and Leavitt being at the LSU basketball game. With Whit Weeks. And everything was reportedly going swimmingly. And then that's when the Damon Williams story broke.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's like Leavitt's leaving.
Yes.
And we didn't expect Leavitt to leave.
Right.
And that was like, I felt like LSU would not close the deal.
Well, and if it wasn't a sure thing, Lane would have never gone up to Knoxville. He had a fence to mend when he went up there. He didn't go up there just because he wanted to see his old home.
And the thing about that was he met him at the airport when he was getting ready to get on a plane. So it wasn't like I'm invited to come see you. Let's talk. It was like, okay, that's when his flight is. We'll see him at the gate.
Yeah. But he's here now, and he's healthy, and I'm eager to see what he can do. Let's take a break. Brett McMurphy from On Three will join us when we come back here on Tiger Rag Radio.
Some call it overplanning. At Booger Electrical Services, we call it foresight. Be prepared for the next power outage with a Generac home standby generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac home standby generator automatically restores your home power. Generac, it's not just a generator, it's a power move. Trust Boudreaux's Electrical Services for expert installations, proactive maintenance for home and business. BoudreauxElectricalServices.com for more information.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. While I'm a fourth generation rice and soybean grower, you don't have to be a farmer to be a Louisiana Farm Bureau member. Membership has its benefits, From discounts on car seats, hotel rooms, and rental cars, to access to insurance you can count on to be there when you need. Plus, a whole lot more. We're 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
If you love LSU, don't settle for headlines. Everyone else already has. At TigerRag.com and in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find breaking news, exclusive interviews, recruiting, game analysis, and the investigative reporting that's making headlines across Louisiana. Recently named Louisiana's first place breaking news winner by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association, Tiger Rag delivers independent journalism covering the business, the politics, and the games of LSU athletics. Visit TigerRag.com every day. Tiger Rag, independent, fearless LSU.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Case Kieschnick. Tomorrow is the 10-year anniversary of the Great Flood of 2016. The slow-moving weather system dumped torrential rain across South Louisiana, causing catastrophic flooding from the Lafayette area to southeast Louisiana. Denham Springs Mayor Gerard Landry remembers planning a meeting for the morning of August 12th, only to have it canceled because the water was rising.
City Hall was just inches away from receiving water, which it finally had 52 inches of water.
More than 25 inches of rain fell in parts of Livingston Parish within hours, sending the Amite River in Denham Springs to a record crest of more than 46 feet. About 30,000 people had to be rescued as rivers across the region overflowed their banks. Congressional races are underway, and the two most notable candidates in the 6th District are State Senators Blake Miguez and Rick Edmonds. ULM political science professor Pearson Cross says the Republicans served together in both the House and Senate, but now they're attacking each other.
Find yourself on the opposite side of an election with somebody, and the next thing you know, you find reasons to not like them very much, and that apparently is the case.
LRN.
LSU is more than just football scores. It's recruiting battles, NIL, SEC politics, coaching decisions, public records, financial decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody covers the complete story like Tiger Rag. Every day at TigerRag.com and every month in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find award-winning journalism, exclusive interviews, insider analysis, recruiting coverage, opinion, history, and investigative reporting that other outlets simply don't have. Tiger Rag was recently honored with first place for breaking news by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association for its coverage of LSU athletics. Whether you're following Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, or the future of LSU athletics, Tiger Rag is where serious LSU fans begin. Visit TigerRag.com today. Tiger Rag, more than big games, the story behind LSU sports.
A man from Metairie is now cancer-free thanks to a groundbreaking lung cancer surgery performed by an LCMC health doctor. Andrew Greenstein reports.
Dr. Wasim Abijaudeh of East Jefferson General Hospital performed the first single-port robotic lung cancer surgery in the Gulf South. Dr. Abijaudeh says what's unique about this procedure is that it involves just a single incision.
Through this incision, we do exactly the same operation that we are doing with multiple incisions.
Abijaudeh says that translates to less pain, less inflammation, and less complications.
That will eventually lead to patients being able to go back to their lives much earlier than with other techniques.
I'm Andrew Greenstein.
Saints head coach Kellen Moore said the team is still evaluating the severity of veteran defensive end Cameron Jordan's hamstring injury, but he will miss some time. Moore did not confirm how long that would be, but said Jordan may not make it back in time for the Saints season opener in Detroit September 13th. Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Case Kieschnick.
LSU is more than just football scores. It's recruiting battles, NIL, SEC politics, coaching decisions, public records, financial decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody covers the complete story like Tiger Rag. Every day at TigerRag.com and every month in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find award-winning journalism, exclusive interviews, insider analysis, recruiting coverage, opinion, history, and investigative reporting that other outlets simply don't have. Tiger Rag was recently honored with first place for breaking news by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association for its coverage of LSU athletics. Whether you're following Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, or the future of LSU athletics, Tiger Rag is where serious LSU fans begin. Visit TigerRag.com today. Tiger Rag, more than big games, the story behind LSU sports.
Now, back to Tiger Rag Radio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with Todd Horn and Case Kieschnick. Let's bring in our first guest of the night, Brett McMurphy from On3. He's their national college football writer, one of them anyways. Brett, thanks a lot for joining us here. How you doing tonight?
Good evening, guys. Good to talk to you.
It's great to have you on. It's been a while. Lane Kiffin getting ready for his first season here at LSU. What's your anticipation with what Lane can do in year one in Baton Rouge?
You got the national title parade route already lined up? Is that selling tickets yet to that?
Yeah, there's some people that might be thinking that, but
I don't think anybody in this room is thinking that.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, it's going to be fascinating. I mean, it's going to be, you know, to steal a phrase from NBC, much watch TV. You know, obviously, you know, you guys know how polarizing Lane is, and you know, everyone's got. You know, September 19th circled. You know, it'll be an interesting season. I think overall it'll be a tougher season for not only LSU, but I think for the entire SEC. Mm-hmm. And I know you guys heard, you know, you've probably done a lot on the coaches belly aching about the 9-game schedule. But I do think that'll have a big impact on the entire conference, including LSU. And so how will they be able to avoid getting dinged up in the win-loss column like everybody else? Can they stay healthy? I don't know, because you look at the Vegas win totals, there's only two teams at 9.5. That's Texas and Georgia. And then you got LSU in there at 8.5 with Alabama and Texas A&M. So all I know of this, guys, is if I'm a 9-3 team, the College Football Playoff Selection Committee has not given me any indication they're going to put a 3-loss at-large team in the playoff. So I wouldn't want to count on them doing that.
Yeah,
I just don't know how many SEC teams are going to get to 10 wins. Like, you know, certainly we'll find out. But if there's not a lot of chaos everywhere in the Big 12 and the ACC and the Big 10, you know, again, the only thing we can go by is past history. And what they've shown us is they consider one thing, and that's the fewest number of losses.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to go to that nine game schedule with half the league on the road for 5 games, and then that'd be a penalty against you at the end of the season, potentially. But Brett, when you talk to coaches and people around college football, especially in the SEC, but just around college football in general, what are they saying about Kiffin, about what he's assembled at LSU, and is there any type of genuine belief that LSU could be a playoff team?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, you can. You know, you guys know this. You guys are, aren't rookies. So if you want to write a story, if you want to push a narrative, you can find people that, you know, yes, LSU is definitely a playoff team. They're a national title contender. And you can find people that are saying, no, he's going to be lucky to go 6-6. I'm personally somewhere in the middle. I think I hate to say ceiling because, you know, you guys will clip this and then I'll get very buried on Twitter, but I'll say I think 9's the ceiling in the regular season for LSU. I just think that, and it's nothing against Lane, it's nothing against LSU. I just think the additional conference game is going to impact everybody.
Yeah,
and also something that nobody has experienced, and that is the pressure that's going to be on this team on a day-to-day basis. Because now Lane Kiffin's your coach. The expectations are, I mean, the last 3 or 4 coaches, except for Brian Kelly, of course, won a national championship. So, you know, the expectation is not to win the SEC, it's to win a national championship. And if it's not in year one, well, then okay, we'll give you a honeymoon season and you better do it in year two. I just don't know how much that will wear on LSU. And then, you know, the schedule, you know, there's weak spots, there's tough spots. I mean, you know, having to play A&M after the, you know, game of the millennium at Ole Miss, that's going to be hard to get back up for.
Yeah.
You know, in the closing stretch, Alabama, Texas, Tennessee in consecutive weeks, you know, certainly 2-1 is the worst you got to do in that threesome, and at Arkansas shouldn't be a problem. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think Lane did a tremendous job at Ole Miss. Last year, of course, things got wonky at the end when he left and wanted to coach and all that stuff, which I won't get into. The year before, though, it really, I think, was a disappointment. And it sounds weird saying that Ole Miss was 10-3. And, yeah, how can I say it's a disappointment? Well, the three final losses were all as favorites for Ole Miss. And one of those, LSU upset Ole Miss, is about a field goal underdog. And then Ole Miss lost as two touchdown favorites to both Kentucky and Florida.
Man.
And those smell like bad fish. So he certainly cannot do that at LSU. So will we see the 2024 version of Lane Kiffin, or are we going to see the 2025 season of Lane Kiffin? And that's an unknown. Mm-hmm. Certainly LSU did great in the portal. There's a ton of excitement. But Lane handles the spotlight well, but how will the team and the surrounding, key contributors in Baton Rouge handle that spotlight as well? I think that will probably play a big part on how successful this season is.
Well, you know, I think we can all agree probably that Sam Leavitt is going to be a wild card, if you will, in how sure. LSU performs. What's the national perception of him right now at LSU?
I think, you know, everyone expects him to do well. It's, you know, if somebody did the cliche anonymous coaches quotes and said, oh, what do you think about Sam Leavitt? You know, and some guys are like, oh, he's the greatest thing ever. And then others are like, vastly overrated. So, I mean, look, he's at a different place. His numbers last year were not great. I've obviously had some injuries, 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and only 7 games. The year before, a little bit better, but he was a freshman, 24 TDs, 6 interceptions, was a key component in Arizona State winning the Big 12 and nearly, not could have, but absolutely 1,000% should have beat Texas in mm-hmm. that quarterfinal playoff game. But Sam Leavitt doesn't play defensive back, unfortunately, for Arizona State. So, I think he'll be fine. No indication he's not 100% ready to go. And, it's a different offense. And having Lane as the guy directing the offense, or the main guy drawing up the plays, whether he's doing that full time or not anymore, certainly is going to play to the strengths of the quarterback. And I think Sam should have a monster year in a season with, you know, I'm sure you guys have noticed this. There's so many talented quarterbacks
yeah.
all over the country. Like everyone's like, who do you like in the Heisman? I'm like, ask me in like late November, because whoever you tell me right now absolutely has a chance to win it. And I can name 10 other guys that has the same chance.
So, Brett, real quick, because I know Jeff wants to ask you something, we're getting close here, but speaking of the talented quarterbacks, Trinidad Chambliss at Ole Miss, is he going to be adversely impacted by losing Charlie Weiss and Lane Kiffin? Is that going to hurt him more than we think, possibly?
We'll certainly find out right off the bat. They've got Louisville and Nashville. I mean, it could, you've got the, again, you've got the chip on the shoulder, let's prove him wrong type deal. It's impossible to say. Coaching now, everybody's, I think, like even as recent as 10 years ago, you could see like huge disparities in coaches, and how good coaches were and different things that they do. But now, everything's shared so much and everybody can see everything instantly, that it's really hard to have a huge gap coaching wise. So basically it's, the old saying, it's not the X's and O's, it's the Jimmys and the Joes. And I think Ole Miss has a lot of really good Joes with him and Lacey. So I expect Chambliss to have a solid year.
You mentioned the Texas A&M game right behind the game of the millennium in Ole Miss. And I think LSU fans forget that because kind of accustomed to seeing Texas A&M on the schedule in October and November, and you forget that game's coming up in late September. But the feeling is they lost a lot from last year's college football playoff team. How do you see the Aggies and what they could potentially do this season?
Well, you know, Marcel Reed has to be consistent, obviously. You know, the advantage, if there is an advantage, even though they're coming to Baton Rouge, you know, A&M's coming off Kentucky, which shouldn't be an issue. And then they've got Arkansas the next week. So they've got Arizona State in week two. So basically their entire focus for the first month, I'm sure, is the game at LSU. You know, Mike Elko is one of the best defensive minds out there. And, you know, they were, you know, good enough last year to get in the playoff. They just, man, their offense just, I won't use profanity, but right. You know what they did.
It stinked.
Well, that's the polite way of putting it. You know, can they correct that? I mean, I think A&M would prefer to get into these, you know, Colin Klein's gone. He's no longer offensive coordinator. So you got a new guy and an offensive coordinator. So, you know, are they going to be more of a slower tempo type team that plays into the strength of their defense? We'll have to find out. And certainly I'm guessing LSU is going to want to go, you know, up tempo as much as they can, within reason. So it's a clash of styles there, but you know, look, it's just anytime that's the thing I keep mentioning, the 9-game schedule, You can't, every team cannot play their A game every week.
Right.
It's not going to happen. The key is being able to beat teams with your B or even your C game. And those are the teams that will stay alive for the playoff, can get to the national title game, or you're Indiana and you don't play anybody for 10 weeks and then you play all your games in the back end and do it that way. But that's not the case in the SEC. But, I mean, look, I think Texas and Georgia are the top two teams in the SEC. I just think Texas's schedule is so dang hard. Of the teams that are basically power rated as the 9 best teams in the SEC, Texas plays 6 of the other 8. That's more than anybody. And oh, by the way, they also got Ohio State. So I think talent wise, they're the most talented team. I don't think they can survive that schedule.
Yeah.
So that's why I like Georgia to win it. But I mean, we'll see. It's, you know, that's why they play the games, I guess.
And that's why we love the sport so much. Brett, thanks a lot. We appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
Brett McMurphy from On3, good stuff from him, and I agree. It, you know, you want to sit here and analyze everything left and right, and it all comes back down to that 9th game and just how difficult that will be. And for LSU, you know, going to Auburn, that could be a really tough game, Todd.
It's a tough place to play, regardless of of where they are in their program's status. And actually, you know, they've got a great quarterback coming in. Now, he's not a great Power 5 or Power 4 quarterback, but he has a history of making good offensive decisions and being able to perform, and he's used to his coaching staff.
Yeah.
So it is going to be a challenge at Auburn.
Let's take a break. We'll talk a little recruiting when we come back here on Tiger Rag Radio.
LSU is more than just football scores. It's recruiting battles, NIL, SEC politics, coaching decisions, public records, financial decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody covers the complete story like Tiger Rag. Every day at TigerRag.com and every month in Tiger Rag magazine, you'll find award-winning journalism, exclusive interviews, insider analysis, recruiting coverage, opinion, history, and investigative reporting that other outlets simply don't have. Tiger Rag was recently honored with first place for breaking news by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association for its coverage of LSU athletics. Whether you're following Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, or the future of LSU athletics, Tiger Rag is where serious LSU fans begin. Visit TigerRag.com today. Tiger Rag, more than big games, the story behind LSU sports.
No more mold, no more damage, no more outdated old bathroom, no more slipping and hurting, no more stress. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub.
new wall, new anti-slip technology. Be stress-free. Call 800-770-5322. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. Ask about our military and senior discounts. Your dream bathroom in as little as one day. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Never-Clear glass treated door. Call now for free premium color upgrades. 800-770-5322. Call BCI Bath and Shower, the leader in bathroom remodeling. Be smart, safe, and stay a step ahead of inflation with our interest-free financing options. Call 800-770-5322. Love your bathroom with free upgrades. Call 800-770-5322. That's 800-770-5322.
Let's go! We now return to Tiger Rag Radio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with Tiger Rag editor, executive editor Todd Horn. The editor, Glenn Gilbo, is over at the Ponderosa where LSU is practicing tonight. I kind of like this morning.
It's good for the team, and it saves injuries. I get it.
You go,
but
hard.
I can't talk about it because there's a competitive disadvantage about it.
That's fine. But I get the sense you work hard Monday morning, gives you extra time off till Tuesday night. Then you have a walkthrough Wednesday. I mean, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out what they're doing.
Did I leak it out?
Oh my gosh. George is listening and now they're going to do this. Oh my goodness. Anyways, Lane Kiffin's also a really good recruiter, and Case, when LSU lines up against Clemson in the season opener, some of the top recruits in the class of 27 and 28. Now, granted, it is the marquee game of the week. So if you're a recruit and you want to take in a great game on Labor Day weekend, LSU would be the place to go or place to be. And so you got an article up at TigerRag.com, or Tiger Rag does, that list the players that are going to be there. Again, it's about 30 of them from both the classes of 27 and 28 that will be in Tiger Stadium for the Lane Kiffin debut.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a slew of guys, especially from that 2028 class, but the name everyone's going to be talking about is, of course, still Easton Royal, the wide receiver out of New Orleans, the five-star who's currently committed to Texas and has been for months. But that conversation is not going to end as LSU keeps trying to flip the in-state five-star, one of the top receivers, if not the top receiver, in the 2027 class. He's coming to that game. He'll also be back in LSU for another game later in the season. He'll be visiting Texas for the following week at when they host Ohio State, and he's still in contention with Florida to be a Gator, potentially. Some experts have logged predictions that he's going to flip to LSU, but it's still kind of up in the air.
So the game he's going to be back at LSU later in the season, do we know who they were going to be playing in that game?
Ooh, that is a great question.
I think it's the Texas game.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
it
why
is.
Not?
You are correct.
Why not?
They are.
And if I was him, just why not? You know, if they're going to keep inviting me to games, what the heck? What better? I might as well just soak it all in, right?
Yeah, I wrote a column a couple of weeks ago. I actually think that it would be, he could play at Royal, whatever they call that field at Texas.
Yeah.
Or he could become royalty at LSU.
That was good. That's good. That's very good. Who else is going to be there? Some other top names, Case?
A couple of guys from the 2028 class to look out for. Two of the top three defensive linemen. Prince Che out of Georgia, the number two guy in the class. It'll be his first trip to LSU. Tyson Swan from Maryland, he's the number three guy. He's already kind of in contention with Alabama, Auburn, Florida, so that's another big SEC recruiting battle there. On the offensive side of the ball, Maddox Davis is a four-star receiver, a top 45 national prospect that Kiffin has been recruiting since his time at Ole Miss. He fits in really well to this Kiffin-Weiss offense, and that's going to be one of their top targets in the 2028 class. Also on offense, number three interior offensive lineman in the 2028 class. After LSU missed out on the Lake Charles five-star Albert Simeon, he's a guy that this coaching staff could want to target to kind of supplement that interior.
What about Knox Kiffin, class of 2028?
He said he's not going to play for. He's not going to play for Lane. But you know what I did say. You know what's interesting. Peyton Houston
Pop Houston, yeah.
His name's
You said Peyton Houston, but everybody knows him. When he said Peyton, I'm like,
I don't like that name, Pop.
I love the name. I think
Pop. Reminds me of my dad or something. But anyway, He's going to be at every game.
Well,
for LSU,
I could see that
recruiting.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's how it's done nowadays. So, I mean, Russell Shepard kind of started that back in the day. He was one of the first guys to commit to whatever year class that was, and he was in charge of trying to.
Well, Lamar Brown kind of took over that role last year, even after Kelly was fired.
You usually have like an alpha dog out there that's trying to corral all these guys.
Russell Shepard is selling porta potties right now, isn't he?
That's fine, whatever.
No,
man.
I mean, he's doing really well.
No, it's great. It's great.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, it is. You're right. It is. That's what it is. All right, let's take a break. More coming up here on Tiger Rag Radio right after this.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
Some call it overplanning. At Boudreaux Electrical Services, we call it foresight. Be prepared for the next power outage with a Generac home standby generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac home standby generator automatically restores your home power. Generac, it's not just a generator, it's a power move. Trust Boudreaux's electrical services for expert installations, proactive maintenance for home and business. BoudreauxElectricalServices.com for more information.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. For more than 100 years, Louisiana Farm Bureau has been the voice of Louisiana agriculture. Louisiana Farm Bureau advocates on behalf of all the farmers and ranchers across our great state. What that really means is we advocate for you to ensure we have the safest, most abundant, and affordable food supply in the world. Louisiana Farm Bureau is 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
If you love LSU, don't settle for headlines. Everyone else already has. At TigerRag.com and in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find breaking news, exclusive interviews, recruiting, game analysis, and the investigative reporting that's making headlines across Louisiana. Recently named Louisiana's first place breaking news winner by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association, Tiger Rag delivers independent journalism covering the business, the politics, and the games of LSU athletics. Visit TigerRag.com every day. Tiger Rag, independent, fearless, LSU. LSU is more than just football scores. It's recruiting battles, NIL, SEC politics, coaching decisions, public records, financial decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody covers the complete story like Tiger Rag. Every day at TigerRag.com and every month in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find award-winning journalism, exclusive interviews, insider analysis, recruiting coverage, opinion, history, and investigative reporting that other outlets simply don't have. Tiger Rag was recently honored with first place for breaking news by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association for its coverage of LSU athletics. Whether you're following Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, or the future of LSU athletics, Tiger Rag is where serious LSU fans begin. Visit TigerRag.com today. Tiger Rag, more than big games, the story behind LSU sports.
Tiger Rag Radio is back.
Hey, we're wrapping up hour number one. A couple of rule changes for college football this season. Let's get to the one that's maybe not as interesting. Offensive pass interference will only be 10 yards instead of 15 yards. They would rather have the personal foul penalties be 15. Now, granted, defensive pass interference would still be either spotted the ball or 15 yards, whichever is the correct ruling.
I just don't get that. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I mean, I get they want personal foul penalties to be 15 right. yards and everything else to be 5 or 10. But I think if you interfere as an offensive receiver, you should get penalized the same as if you would if you were a defensive receiver.
I do love college football's defensive penalty or defensive pass interference rule much more than the NFL. I can't stand the NFL one where you can throw a 20-yard short and then the receiver tries to run back and the defender has no chance to get out of the receiver's way because the quarterback's got a can't throw the ball 35 yards. So anyways, but the other rule is that no longer will a player who gets hit with targeting in the second half of a game gets penalized for targeting, will they have to miss the first half of the next game? Can we call this the Devin White rule, Todd?
Well, I mean, that's the most prominent thought that came to my mind when I first heard about it.
2018.
But I kind of doubt Michigan thought about it that way.
2018. Devin White hits Nick Fitzgerald. It's certainly some helmet-to-helmet contact, but whether targeting, very, very questionable. And this is why when we talk about all these other things about the SEC doing this and doing that, this is where I say the SEC, they're just a bunch of bean counters. All these power conferences are, because if they had a backbone, they had 2 weeks to nullify that rule or nullify Devin White's first half suspension, and they were too much of a coward to do it.
Well, and that's part of the – now there's a new appeals process in this rule too now, and they can wipe it away, whereas before they couldn't.
All right, first hour in the books. We'll be back after this here on Tiger Rag Radio.